Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Gonna take it.
And basketball analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know, what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it.
Hey, everybody, it's Gary Tagway along with Bob Ryan. Jeff Goodman is busy covering the NCAA tournament, so we're going to do our best to fill in for him. And Bob has a lot of thoughts on the tourney, so don't worry about that, college basketball fans. You'll get your fill. All right, we are brought to you by Prize Picks, the exclusive daily fantasy partner of CLNS Media. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy with Prize Picks. Bob, we are in foreign territory. Well, I shouldn't say foreign territory. It's been a while since the Celtics have been in a position like this. Basically, they're just cruising. They're going to win the Eastern Conference. They're going to coast right into the playoffs. So when it comes to talking to the Celtics or talking about the Celtics, what do we do now?
I think it's very clear. Joe Mazzulla has made it clear that, number one, maintenance of the fragile people, starting with Porzingis and continuing the puff seizure with Horford. Now you've got to deal with Holiday and so on. But the point is, we're also working in new people. They picked up Tillman. Rather than starting Hauser in this victory over Detroit on Friday night, he started Tillman and got some useful service out of him. You know, we like what we've seen of him. He is what he is. He's not a star. He's a classic role player. You know, he's a role player, and he gets it. Apparently, he's comfortable with that. He has no delusions of athletic grandeur. He knows he's an NBA player who has certain level of skill, and he's a good team guy. Apparently, and that's great to hear. That's exactly the kind of guy that they needed and wanted. They don't want a guy that's going to come in and disrupt things. Okay, so it's a matter of mix and match and experimentation. And meanwhile, you even can win without Tatum last night because Brown has he'll never silence all the critics. Okay, let's just get that straight. The price tag on him, you know, he shouldn't be the highest paid player in basketball. It's circumstantial. It'll end next year, but people won't give. You know, he has to. The can't go to his left thing and dribble in the traffic. He's better. He's doing, you know, let's see how he does in the playoffs. But meanwhile, he's really playing well and he's shooting great. Right. He's shooting, my God, he's 50% for the season. So, you know, this is not just on twos, this including threes. And he's playing very, very well. But as I said, he'll never as long as he knows that he'll never silence the critics,
right,
and just goes about his business, I think it's going to be fine.
It's not his fault he's the highest paid player.
No, it's not. But exactly, it's not.
It's a nice luxury, good for him, but it's not
it's
his
circumstantial.
Fault.
And finally, you know, not finally, but White continues. What do we say? We're running out of, you know, we're just so used to what he does every night now. And I still continue to be amazed at how easily he was to get. You know, what a great move that was. I had no idea, none. That he was that good.
Sure.
Nothing. And then, so, but that's what Joe's going to do. Joe's going to mix and match, try things, and make sure that, you know, nobody gets over, that they people get the right amount of playing time.
Doesn't this remind you of Celtics teams of the past that were contenders for championships where, you know, I'm just thinking about the 60s into the 70s and the 80s. And when you talked about the role players, even in 07, we saw role players like Eddie House.
Eddie House, James Posey, and finally P.J. Brown. The final piece of that puzzle was P.J. Brown. And absolutely, those three guys, if they don't do what they did, there's no championship. They were part of the whole mosaic, if you will, the whole puzzle. So absolutely. And now we have Pritchard and we have Hauser filling those roles. And the much underrated Luke Kornet. Luke Kornet has made himself known in a very positive way, especially the second half of the season. They are legitimately nine deep for sure, and that's enough. You don't need more than that, and that's fine. And I'll do the math here with Tillman. Is there, are they 10 deep? I lost track, but they're sufficiently deep. I'll put it that way.
Right. Joe has a lot to go to on the bench.
He does. He's got options. And how about the other day playing Kornet and Porzingis? You know. And
you're right.
Porzingis, because he has that outside shooting threat, and he is more agile laterally than people would have believed. You know, defensively, he's not necessarily a liability covering a guy 4 or 5 inches shorter than he. So they've got a lot of options. So in that sense, I know one thing that must be the envy of all the league, the envy of other coaches, is that backcourt, you know, and the cerebral nature of that backcourt. Now,
that's why, as an alarmist, the Holiday thing bothers me.
Oh, I worry. You want him. You have to have him. And it's definitely. But they're playing. They're downplaying it. We'll see. They're downplaying it. It's getting better. You know. Okay. But in 4 weeks from now, he better be ready to go.
They have plenty of time for Holiday to get better. What they have right now, they're very fortunate. They can rest people. And they're also in a situation where I read that Porzingis said, I could have come back earlier.
Yes, he said, thanks for hiring, quote unquote.
Yeah.
I could have come back. So
yeah.
he's nursing a hamstring.
Right.
The hamstrings, I don't care what sport you're talking about. You don't want to mess around with that.
They're so deep, though. Porzingis is probably thinking, okay, I'm nursing this hamstring. I could take more time, but I still got to get some touches. I can't get too rusty.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. So let's get to my boy. My crusade, Peyton Pritchard.
Go ahead.
Well, he has become absolutely an official pest. He's become Brad Marchand without the of basketball, without the nasty stuff. I mean,
without the skates. You're right.
Without he and I said this, and I he's a cross between Larry Siegfried and Seasting if Seasting had a 3-point shot. So he's the first Peyton Pritchard in the Red Sox history. But he does remind me of Siggy on defense. He's a dogged defender. And my favorite observation, if you will, about him is, and would you not agree, he seems to be good for at least one great sneaky offensive rebound every single night.
Right.
You've got to box that little guy out. And you got to know where he is. And that wasn't part of the package because the package that people thought was the shooting. You know, he's a 3-point specialist, and that's what got him into the league as a first round pick. He was in fact the number 26 pick of the 20 draft in the first round. And speaking of the shooting, he's been in double figures. Now he's getting real steady extra playing time. He's been in double figures 7 of the last 8 games. His last 3 games, Garrett, 23 points, 19 points, 20 points, 23 for 40 from the floor, including 6 in his last 4 games, 16 for 31 from 3. To go with, he's shooting almost 40% for the season, which is what you want. And I mean, what's not to like? You know, you got to like, he is what he is. He's 6'1", if he is that. But he has become a major asset to this team. And you don't ever mind seeing him on the floor. And that'll help him get over this period with Holiday to a degree, you know. Now they got down the road, they got a super silly road trip, you know, a lengthy road trip coming up. And we'll see how that handles. But right now, it's extraordinary. They are 6 games up in the loss over the next team in the league.
I know, yeah.
To be, OKC. And 6 games in the loss on March 23rd over the league, not the conference. Now, one thing you were talking about earlier about the comparing the good old days and all that, the big In the Big Three era, in the original Big Three era, in the Bird, Parrish, McHale era, there was always Philly. And Philly would be right with them 40 years ago today. You know, Philly would be right with them. In fact, 40 years ago was the year, that's 84. So, And from 80 to 85, you know, Philly was right with them. And but that, there's nobody right with them right now in the conference. You know, but you know, Milwaukee has excuses and injury reasons. And I still don't be cavalierly dismiss them when the playoffs start. Please don't, anybody. But I never could have foreseen this kind of a spread. No, that they would spread the Eagle right. League. No. We knew we were going to have a good season, but whoa, you know, this is now. I got to remind you, the winningest Celtic team in history did not win the championship. The winningest team in NBA history did not win the championship. So this is the NBA's equivalent of the President's Cup, folks. Just get this in your head. If you buy sport, you dual sport people that know the Bruins history. Winning that, it's all well and good, and they're going to be the number one seed. It ain't no guarantee, and so I always say enjoy this ride, and then when the playoffs come, you put on your playoff hat and get in your playoff mode, put on your playoff face, fine, but just enjoy what you're seeing, because it nobody deserves this. No fan set deserves this. Nobody does, but we were blessed to have it.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's a tournament season or the fight for a playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. Testing my skills on Prize Picks this season is the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with just a few taps. Prize Picks is really simple to play, and I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. Download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Use the code CLNS for the first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Well, now the Celtic team that with the 70 wins, that was 73, correct? That
they 72, had, 73 yeah. season. 68.
What was which NBA team?
The Bulls. I mean Warriors 73. The Warriors. Didn't they break the record, or the Bulls still hold the record? Okay.
Oh, that's right. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
73. So they didn't win, and you know, you got hurt, and things happen, and the Celtics didn't win for a very simple reason. John Havlicek ran into a pick between Dave the Busher and Bill Bradley and messed up his shooting hand shoulder and had to play one and a half hands the rest of the way, mostly left-handed. And they still went seven, losing a rout at home in seventh game, by the way. And they're the best team in Celtics. They were the winningest team. Now, the next winningest team did win, 67-15. That team did win. And that, of course, is the 85-86 team.
Right.
And then I believe the 07-08 team was 66 wins. And, of course, we know that they did win. But the winningest team did not win. Just keep that in mind.
What was it like running into a Dave DeBuscher pick?
Dave DeBuscher was a tough guy. He was a standard of forward excellence in those days. And until they picked up Paul Silas as the antidote, he tormented them. Paul Silas was the kryptonite for DeBuscher. Interesting. Yeah. Very. And he also, though, he was a combination of finesse and strength. He would have flourished in today's game. He had 3-point range. Wow. he could have been a very good floor spreader here, believe me, in addition to his, you know, his duties in the trenches.
It's physical game. Well, let's go out west, Bob. And yep. I want you to give me your thoughts on these four teams, because it seems right now these four are the contenders.
Yep.
With the Thunder, Nuggets, Minnesota, and Clippers. And that is the order of the Western Conference standings.
Yep.
Break it down for me.
Well, OKC is a team. It's a growth stock that we're seeing having
right.
good weeks, you know, good returns every week, you know, with the kids. It's a young, youth oriented team. With a player who's having a tremendous year in Gildas Alexander as the SGA now. They believe in themselves very much. But they only have a one game a half. Well, actually, they're tied in the win, a one and a loss over Denver. It's Denver to beat, and I mean that with regard to until proven otherwise, they're the favorites. They're definitely the West favorites to me to come out of the West. There's nothing's changed with them. at all. Jokic continues to do what he does every single night. Murray, just what he does. Okay, Minnesota's an intriguing team. They've got Anthony Edwards. I'm telling you, is doing a Michael Jordan imitation this year. I mean, he's I'm not saying he's Michael Jordan, but I'm telling you, if you want to have a young person say, you know, what was Michael Jordan like? You say, well, look at Anthony Edwards and turn it up a notch or two. He's having a phenomenal year. They got the big guys, you know, Gobert and they don't have Carl Anthony Towns now. And I don't know in the long run. The metrics showed that they were winning as much without him as they were with them, even though, you know, we're surprised to hear that. And Gobert is a threat. He's obviously once again making a bid for Defensive Player of the Year. I think they believe in themselves. Now the next team up, of course, we know what they're all about. They've got three veteran guys, you know, the LAC, the Clippers. They got Leonard and George and Harden. Zubac is a better big guy than people realize, but he's pretty good. But it's all about those three guys, and the fact that two of them, you don't know if they're going to be able to show up every night when the playoffs come.
Right.
You know, history tells you that Leonard and George are very injury prone, and the one big thing for them is that it took a while, but they finally accommodated themselves to Harden, and Harden accommodated themselves to them. You know, he's not an easy guy to play with, I don't think, or he'd live with probably, you know, but they're going to be the proverbial tough out, I think, assuming they stay healthy, but that's no guarantee on that. They're not going to win. I will be very, 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 very surprised if whoever comes out of the East is not staring Denver in the face.
It's going to be Denver, Boston. I think it's Denver, Boston.
Yeah, and that's it. Now, let me just say this. In terms of winning a series and being annoying, you know, the next four teams, you can make a case for all of them being in that category. Phoenix, we know what the story is with Phoenix in terms of the top heavy with
right.
Durant and Booker. I love Booker still, and Beal, but very, very thin in depth. Then we've got Sacramento, last year's darling in the playoffs that have not rebounded well at all to it. They're 40-29. I'm better off than I thought. You know, I love, you know, I get mouth the soapbox every time the subject of Domantas Sabonis comes up.
Oh yeah.
And the Lakers, you know, when will Anthony Davis get hurt? We'll be in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't seem to be in the cards, you know.
I don't think so. But they'll have a game every now and then. I don't know if they're the micro or the macro. That's the big picture. The big picture, probably the macro. You know, we have learned with great players as they get older, and they clearly are not what they were. But every once in a while, it's a throwback night. You know,
right.
Larry had those. That's the way Larry's last couple of years were. Every couple, once in a while, like he had a 46-point game against Portland on Sunday. You know that. You know where'd that come from? Because he hadn't been doing anything like that. And they've got a team like that. You know, and they could be a team like that. And Golden State, the same thing. You know, nobody thinks they're going to win. But to borrow one of my old favorite phrases, nobody's going to go into a series with them saying, "Oh, goody, goody, we're playing the Warriors."
Right.
Yeah, you're going to and the Warriors have quietly developed two young players, Kuminga and with the tongue twisting Polish name. I can't figure his name already. The rookie, that's something that they've been dying for a couple of years. Is find some good. They thought it was going to be Wiseman. Well, it wasn't Wiseman, it turns out it's Kuminga and it's Brzezinski, whatever. I'm sorry. Forgive me, everybody out there, for butchering this young man's name. I got to do better. I got to do better than that. I'll get it down. And then that's it. After that, no. So they're going to be. There's a potential for some interesting moments for those other teams, but I will be totally amazed if it's not Denver.
I think so. At the end of the day, and that's going to be, you know, the Celtics had. Tatum did the one thing that Celtics fans, I think, can sit back and maybe relax a little bit, because Denver still scares the heck out of me, is that Tatum didn't have good games against them, you know. So,
yeah.
It's a small sample size.
Now, you know, two games, and one was a 2-point game, and then when the other one they could have won as well, and you know, we know that. But you know, just Denver's for real, and he is an amazing player. Period. And you know, it's and I will look forward to. I just love watching him play and see how he gets it done. So he, and I don't even have to say who that is, the big guy.
You want to look into the mystery of that is Zion Williamson.
Well, Zion Williamson, yes, has been playing very well, and then suddenly last night they did win, but McCollum went off at 30-31, I believe, and they win, and Ingram's hurt. I hadn't been paying attention to realize that, but they win the game anyway. But he had played 24 minutes at 4 points, and I as soon as I saw that box score, oh my God, you know, because you know you're always ready for him to get hurt, and I went recap and just said he didn't say anything about injury, so just a weird night. You know, for him, but he's had nights lately when it's everything that people thought he could be, you know, and sure. Which is the whole package, triple double kind of guy. I always remember when he was a senior, when he was the 1 year he played at Duke, that the greatest play I saw make all year was a pass amidst all the dunks and all the wonderful inside stuff. And he can play, he knows how to play this game. There's no doubt. And it's just with a body that is not meant for basketball. It's a body meant for, you know, for football. And it's a body that has never rewarded anybody with a long career in the NBA, frankly. So he's fighting history there. But you know, you want him healthy. He's fun. Apparently for all odds, he's a good guy. You know, he's not a jerk. And you know, you
oh, never heard a bad thing.
No. So I'm here. I'm glad. Nice to hear that. So you want to root for this guy to have a career and for their fans to get the benefit of it. So I'll keep my eye on that. I just could be one of those weird nights. I just hope he's not hurt.
Look, when you're hiring for a small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. Right for the role. Not just anybody. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help you find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. It's important. You want to have quality candidates to interview. And with LinkedIn Jobs, it makes it so easy to find them. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion. That's with a B, a billion professionals, which make it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals that you can't find anywhere else. LinkedIn does all of that while making the process easy and intuitive. Hiring is easy when you have so many quality candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats. I mean, you have a lot of jobs to do, right? While you're growing, and you might not have the time or the resources to sit there and do the hiring. LinkedIn is constantly finding ways to make the process easier. They've even launched a feature that helps you write job descriptions, making the process quicker, easier, less of a hassle. 2.5 million small businesses use LinkedIn for hiring. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/scribe. That's linkedin.com/scribe to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's get to the NCAA tournament. And first of all, Bob, let's define an upset. And I'm not even so sure your definition of an upset is an upset anymore.
Well, I've been saying this for years, and I have fun with this, particularly with Tony Kornheiser and his show. People would, if anybody thinks that 9-8 is an upset, when they don't realize what the oh, parity, yeah. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Okay, yeah. Here's what happened. In my opinion, true upsets start at 4-13.
Right.
Historically, 12-5 has been the one where you go, and the last few years it hasn't. However, yeah, here's the summation of yesterday, of the first round. Okay, the first round's over now. Okay, we have a 3-14 Oakland over Kentucky. We have a 4-13 Yale over Auburn. We have 3-5-12s this year. 3-12s over 5. Grand Canyon over St. Mary's. San Diego State over UAB. James Madison, watch out, over Wisconsin. We have 3 11s over sixes, which shouldn't surprise me at all. Duquesne over BYU, NC State over Texas Tech, and Oregon over South Carolina. We have 1 10 over seven, Colorado over Florida. Oh, and then in the dreaded 8 9, oh my God. Some people would think that we had three upsets. Number 9, Northwestern over number 8, Florida Atlantic. Number 9, Michigan State over number 8, Michigan State. And number 9, Texas A&M over Nebraska. Some total, if you think that those are all upsets, that's a total of 1, 2, 5, 6, 9, 12 upsets. No, we have two upsets. Two. Yale over Auburn at 4-13 and Oakland over Kentucky at 3-14. Everything else is not an upset. It's just the NCAA tournament, period. The parity, particularly this year, a year when we had four different teams as a number one team at some point in the season, when the number one team, the best team in the country has three losses, and that's UConn. It's that kind of year. And so forget about that nonsense. So I just like to have fun with that. And it's that there's two upsets yesterday. And they were whoppers over the 2 days. I mean, Oakland over Kentucky and then Yale over Auburn. I love that. Yale took a punch in the mouth to start, and they said, okay.
I thought they were done. I didn't think they were coming back.
They said, okay, is that it? You done? And then we're going to play. And they played. And then they fell behind again a second time.
I know.
And they came back. And good for them. That's really nice for them.
Yeah, I didn't think they were going to come back, but they did.
James Jones has been there now quite a while. And you know, his brother Joe is the BU coach. And I'm wondering, because we're talking about 500 career wins total, I'm wondering if they're the greatest, winningest brother combo in NCAA Division I history. I'm going to throw that out there. I wouldn't even know how to begin to research that, but someone could. So that's a challenge for our audience. I want somebody to find out for us if they're the winningest brother combo in NCAA Division I history, James Jones at Yale and Joe Jones at Boston University.
Hit Bob up on Twitter. Hit us up. Or X.
Next to me. I counted them both in my professional capacity over the years. Great guys and very deserving people.
It seems to me that the NCAA tournament is thriving despite the premature prediction of its demise once guys were going to the G League or straight to the pros.
A lot of people, there are people out there say, well, the talent is diluted. That's the game. The teams aren't as good as they once were. And we really haven't had a truly great team since the Florida back-to-backs in 06, 07. That was a juggernaut. Three guys, the front and the forwards for the front line was Noah, Horford, and Corey Gaines, and the backcourt was solid, and they went back to back. And of course, that Noah famously came back, and for second year, and rather than turn pro. The tournament remains a tournament. It's still, and by the way, the big interesting thing on Saturday at 3 o'clock, were the TV sets be tuned to your pick of NCAA best men's games, or would the TV sets be tuned to Caitlin Clark against the Crusaders of Holy Cross?
Yes.
And I'm telling you right now, I'm sign me up for. I'm going to start out for sure. I'll flip, but my anchor is going to be until if a game gets out of hand. Okay, fine. But I'm checking in with Caitlin Clark and Holy Cross, if only because.
I'm sure our colleague Dan Shaughnessy will be as well.
Oh, absolutely.
And it was nice to see in the Boston Globe that Mr. Shaughnessy is well on his way back to being 100%. And if anyone doesn't know, we're referring to the column Dan wrote on the Patriots and the series that was on Apple TV.
He's still doing his 98 on the black. Don't worry. He's feeling better.
He's fine. He's doing better. Fine.
And he couldn't let it go. And that's great. Good to see. We don't want some watered down version of saying nice things all the time. We want the real Dan Shaughnessy.
You know, it's true. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. You know, to me, with all of the, and I talked to Dan about it. I said, look, Belichick had his version on NFL Network. It was great. Brady had his thing on ESPN. It was great. You know, the Crafts had their thing. Fun to watch, great. And, you know, with me, it's like, to me now in the media, politics, sports, everybody has their version. And it's kind of up to you to pick which one you want to go with, right? I mean, it's true.
Be careful now. You don't want to get involved in alternate facts, though.
No, that's right.
You don't want to get involved. You got to draw the line somewhere. You don't want alternate facts, quote unquote, okay?
You don't want alternate facts. But I said to Dan, you know, where would we be without Shaughnessy? I mean, I'm serious right now. I mean, there's nobody that does what he does.
Dan, he's like our watchdog.
He is.
And you know, I mean, I don't have that in me to do that. But, you know, I've taken people to task, of course. But there are people that think I got Al Skinner fired. Ha ha, that's such a joke. You know, they didn't need me, you know, and that's fine. But no, Dan, he has a vision of what a columnist should and ought to be. And he's a wonderful writer. He's a treasure.
Whether you agree with him or not, you know, he's a must read. And we, you know, I'm glad he's back. All right. Well, on his way back. All right, Bob, always a pleasure, my friend. I don't know when we're going to see Mr. Goodman again.
No, well, he's, you know, and, you know, but now I just say I'm looking forward to that. By the way, next weekend we have a Boston regional. So I will be in attendance.
All right.
Next Thursday and Saturday at the Garden, we have a regional. And so the tournament, well, I'll just leave you with this. The team to beat is still the team to beat. It's UConn's to win or lose, ultimately, I believe.
There you go. Bob Ryan, thank you, my friend. Ryan Tangway Goodman, who is on assignment big time at the NCAA, brought to you by Prize Picks, the exclusive daily fantasy partner of the CLNS Media Networks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy with Prize Picks. Bob, until next week.
All right, good, Gary. We'll talk.